This is a production of Cornell University.
Monday, January 25th, 2010, CPSA meeting.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for showing up on this first day of classes. We have, hopefully we'll have a somewhat light evening tonight because we were originally scheduled to have Vice President Streeter come, as you would have been aware if you had seen the emails last week, but unfortunately there was a scheduling conflict with his office, and so now we have some more time to discuss the Reimagining Cornell Task Force report amongst ourselves, which I think will be of benefit, but also Mike will be able to give us a little update on the status of that and help prepare us maybe for next week's talk with Provost Fox at the advisory body meeting. So if there's anyone that's not normally here that's here today that would like to introduce himself or herself, please let us know. All right, yeah. Oh. Very good. Thanks for coming. Yes.
I'm one of the new representatives from the Cornell Chief Comics Fest. I'm the new vice president of the Comics Fest.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming. And maybe I'll just take the chance to introduce, for those of you who are new or unfamiliar, Brenda Wicks, the assistant dean of the graduate school. Is that your correct title, Brenda?
My correct title.
And then Ken Hubble, our dean of students. And thank you, sir. And Amy O'Donnell from our. What would your title be? Office of Assemblies. But
coordinator.
The coordinator from the Office of Assemblies. So thank you for everyone for coming again, and I guess we'll just go right into the approval of the minutes.
I have two edits for the minutes. This is from the November 16th meeting. My first edit is under executive updates. I'm referred to as the executive VP when I'm not. So I ask that be changed to Vice President of Operations. And the second change is understanding committee updates seen here on the screen. Asha's committee is referred to as appropriations, and I ask that be changed to the GPSAFC.
It's been moved by Brian. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dave Walden. Any dissent? Seeing none, we'll make those changes to the minutes as indicated by the Vice President for Operations. Is there any other suggested changes to the minutes from the last two meetings? Seeing none, the Chair would look favorably upon a motion to approve the minutes as written, as amended. Moved by Ben, seconded by Dave. Any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes have been approved. So for our two new folks, two new ladies that have introduced themselves, let me just say a little background on what we do here. This is a voting body, and maybe for anyone else who hasn't been to a meeting before, this is the voting body of the GPSA. This is where we deliberate on and pass resolutions on matters that we'd like to. Our primary action is communicating with the administration of the university, so the vice president, the president, and any other administrators about things that the graduate students would like to make their voice heard on. And it's also a forum for any graduate student to voice his or her concerns, as is our advisory body meetings, which occur, I guess, once a month, but about 2 weeks off, the voting body meetings. So I guess we'll go right now into executive updates. I don't have anything particular that I want to talk about now. I have some stuff I'll be talking about later. So, Brian?
One of the ad hoc committees, the mental health committee, met this evening, and seeing that Ed just walked in, anything to report from today's meeting besides, so the mental health committee met with EARS, and
I have not met with EARS and with Jack from today.
We're at the stage now reviewing situations with graduate students, and
do you want to just tell us those acronyms? I mean, it doesn't have to be a long description, but just what EARS and CAS, for some of us that aren't familiar with it.
It's Empathy and Global Service, it's through the Dean's Student Support Center, and then CAS is
Counseling and Psychological Services.
Thank you.
Here's the peer counseling program. They train Cornell have traditionally been undergraduates and have graduate students as well to provide peer counseling either over the phone or on a walk-in basis to their offices in Lewis Trace. Been here at Cornell for over 20 years. 1972, see, I just today. So it's been very highly regarded, and as of, I guess, last fall, they started training, specifically training a cohort of graduate students, and giving up tools to man the phone,
yes,
and provide walk-in phone.
Yeah, it's a three-semester training scheme, basically. You can do it in two semesters, for 2 years now, I think they've been graduate students, and they currently have three graduate students, really four graduate students, three support. So we're looking both to get more people wanting to train, and also make graduate students more aware of their services, and the fact that they are just a drop-in cultural center for anything from coursework or not advice, but coursework discussion through to relationships, finances.
All right, thank you. That's it for me. All the committees are filled. Yep, that's about it.
We did have some changes in appointments for our committees for the spring semester, but Brian did a fine job of filling those staffing vacancies. Erica, did you have anything?
Just briefly, I have a communications meeting on Wednesday. We're still working on trying to move forward with the initiative called something like TGIF goes to Mugglet, or bring your own mug to TGIF. That's still something we're talking about. I have a meeting with Chris this week, and I'll have more to say about that. And that would be in collaboration with the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee, and I'll have more to say about that after our meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Erica. So now we have, if you print out your agendas, you'll see bullet point number 3, but I'm going to move that, actually, to later. And so if we could do maybe the standing committee updates, then the student trustee update, and then the update on Reimagining Cornell. All right. The distinguished trustee and I are usually on the same page on such matters. So do we have any updates from the advocacy committee? Preston.
Advocacy committee update. So we launched efforts to start a qualitative interview of graduate students across campus, and it's just to kind of get a feel for the graduate students' voice and opinions that are going on throughout the school. And it's going to be compiled into a document that will be available off of the CPSA website and blog at the end of the semester. And hopefully it might be distributed by the graduate school that can come to the school to kind of give them an idea of what the different students are and how graduate students like actually
Thank you, Preston. Anything from appropriations? Dave?
Shortly I'll be starting on working on the SWC website. So hopefully that'll be up for me soon. And then just me and what sits around in the MIB, especially James, to in the real quick communication for the SWC going forward.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that.
Dave, could you refresh your memories on what the Activity C website, what its purpose and goals are?
First, I'm just going to give more information on activities, what amounts are going to be used on campus, and what those groups are actually doing for the CPSA to perform their whole athletic. We're giving us X amount of student athletes, and also churches working with them to hopefully increase some of the summarized students. So, it's kind of more of a communication tool between the students for us.
So, I know it's a tool for the students to become more aware of what they're receiving for their activity fees, but would it also be a tool for perhaps the groups themselves that we fund to gain an awareness of it would be a, you know, a publicly available place on the internet for them maybe to see the what our deals have, you know, our deals have been and what the appendix state the requirements are that they provide to us.
Yeah, you could definitely use that, right? Going along the line, or you know, more transparency, just kind of making sure that they know what they're responsible for, getting the general fund.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dave. Anything from events? Suresh?
So first, I'd like to, Chris, you want to talk about that?
Sure. So there's going to be an ice skating night this Thursday, so it's the 24th. Anyway, it's in conjunction with the new graduate student orientation. If you want to show up, then show up on time, because we've had issues getting skate in the past. But basically, the only method we've been using for publicity so far is the Facebook group, and also through the new graduate student orientation office to give out more materials to the new graduate students. So, please show up. We'd love to have you.
And there's a lot of people who already are to see, so make sure you come on time if you don't have to be, because you might want to get a quick money out to you. And there's one other thing, I think, early February, I think February 4th, there's an event where the event committee is hosting along with, I believe it's Cindy and and that will be on February 4th. It's basically called, the theme is the Stoplight Party. Apparently, if you, it's like a social link kind of thing. If you're taken to wear red, you are not sure you wear orange, and you are kind of unready to mingle, then you're green. It sounds like an interesting idea, so I encourage your help and springboard. And it's going to be at Level B, and it was basically just like the Grandpa House, where you just go and show up at all three. And invites on Facebook will be going up tomorrow.
Thanks for the announcement, Suresh, and I'd like to make sure that we got in the minutes that Suresh used the phrase single and ready to mingle at our voting council meeting.
Oh, yes, Entrepreneurship 101, it's a Wednesday seminar at Wild Hall 226. I believe, yes, GPSA is officially sponsoring this event, so I believe Ed has already emailed all of you, so please spread the word to your respective field. And there's also a Facebook invite up, I just invited people, so you should be invited.
Steve Dowell is a professor giving that speech, and we've done a lot of information to do with the lecture, so I heard you're better than that. So, thank you.
Great. Is that all for events, Trish? Do we have any updates from the Finance Commission? Asha?
Not really, except for that the next meeting is February 6th, and 29th is Friday, is the last day. No, the first is this coming Tuesday, is the next Finance Commission meeting, and then Friday is the last day to get in any applications for those who are to submit. So if you want to get that back to your field, that's all.
Very good.
And they hired a new person to replace Lisa. Her name is Michelle Vanderbilt. Yes.
So we'll call her Michelle. thank you, Asha. And now we have a student trustee update from Mike Walsh. We had a meeting of several committees of the Board of Trustees in New York this past end of last week and this weekend. So Mike will be updating us on the latest happenings from there.
Yeah, from Wednesday until Saturday, the Board of Trustees in New York City, which means spent 4 days in the research building. We talked a little bit about the earthquake in Haiti, Cornell actually has been put this wild phenomenon of politician at the foot of Haiti. There's a clinic associated with AIDS treatment and research that has basically been turned into a triage center after the rest of the case. We've also sent down, I think, one professor of civil engineering who's going down there to look at the structural work. And our undergraduate student left the trustee, Craig, who is also the president of the Torrance University Club, has organized a concert for as part of their literature tour. It's organized a concert tomorrow night Heritage Chapel, I guess, 7 p.m.
Correct.
Yeah, 7 p.m. Tickets are $5. All proceeds will go to Relief for the Heritage Foundation. Moving on, the board approved two new graduate and professional programs. One is a joint degree program for those of you who like pain and human development and law, with both PhD and JD. And they also approved a joint program with Tamil Nadu Agricultural University in India and plans for a master's of professional studies in plant from Cornell and a master's of technology and biotech and business management from CNAU. The board approved both the undergraduate and grad student activity fees. That's much discussion, so that now pretty much that is official, and for those of you who are coming back here through, they'll be paying $76 a year. Tuition levels for professional schools went up 4.5% for professional schools and professional programs. Grad research tuition stayed the same. The board also approved a medical research building down in New York City. This is a 17-story, is that correct? The 13th floor is dedicated to research. One floor is partially dedicated towards interdisciplinary campus collaboration. This building is basically dedicated completely towards developing the research program and trying to bring that research program to the tier one level of Wildman Medical College. So that was a very big decision. It was a very expensive building, but fundraising for that building has been going extremely well. That should be completed in 2014. And that was pretty much it for the meeting. I was also invited to an event about a week and a half ago called Cornell Youth Beyond Coal. This was an event basically to demonstrate the kickoff of the combined heat and power plant, which went online last week. The goal of the combined heat and power plant is to basically get us off of coal within 18 months. This will also reduce our carbon emissions by about 25%. So pretty good step toward
If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them now. Otherwise, that's your report, Mr. President. Thank you,
distinguished trustee. We have Mr. Mansfield. So, do you think on the Emerson story,
the construction pop has actually been over for some time? It's about
90 days
long,
which is 8 days.
Okay,
so it's 90 days.
Yeah.
I don't expect people to rush. They feel like they
can't sell. Exactly. This was the 1 billion. A lot of the buildings that have been stuffed over the past couple of years immediately have been shut down. From my perspective, in talking with some of my colleagues who do quality down at the medical school, this was probably the one building that was most
advantageous. Okay, very good. Any other questions for the trustee?
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually wanted to mention one more thing, which is why I asked that we can move up. We did hear two reports on strategic planning, one of which was an overview of the student enrollment task force report, which pretty much said, and we wanted to go into it, that we can increase enrollment, but no, we shouldn't. And many trustees kind of agreed with that sentiment as well. So it's kind of a last, worst-case scenario thing that we would adopt. We also heard from Professor Ed Lawler heading up the Strategic Planning Initiative. And coming out this week will be an outline, a draft outline for the entire Cornell community of the strategic plan. So keep your eyes open for that, and I guess we want to discuss some of those issues.
Yeah, well, before we move into that, I during our update session, I did want to recognize Dean Hubble. I think he maybe had a few words about AD as well.
I traditionally add to what Mike said. On Thursday at 5:30, there will also be what's being called a visual stage sample, where there's a program that's being set up that we trust will include a student or students were in the Asian earthquake, so witness what they saw. And in addition, there will probably be more discussion about the hospital at Gaskio, which is this AIDS research hospital that was set up now maybe 25 or 30 years ago by a Cornell graduate physician named Dr. John Kapp. And this is sort of the beginning, I think, of a fundraising effort that the undergraduates will take up in various ways. The undergraduates are very interested in getting involved in finding resources to contribute to, you know, repair of the devastation. So you're going to see a lot of programming as well as, in all likelihood, there'll be students who, after a few interval, will want to go there and contribute their labor to the restoration of the student. So, as graduate students, you may wish to be involved or not. I don't know if any of you know Dan Brown or Becky Stolzutz. They both do research in music. And we had about half a dozen students who are Christian nationals. Half of those are Asian students. But all of our students, to the best of my knowledge, are safe. So that's the great news that we had. We've had the third place. The confusion is incredible. The information, being able to get information out of Asian during that first 48 hours is almost impossible. And for those of you who don't know, for students who go abroad, we contract with a company called International SOS. They will go in and bring students out if they got ill or are otherwise in risk in some way. And ISOS went into Haiti to try to find several students who were there. Of course, they didn't find them. Unfortunately, the students were able to get out on their own. But suffice to say, it was a very stressful and confusing time for those of us on campus who were trying to, you know, help our students who were in.
Thank you, Dean Hubble. Any questions about Haiti or any of the efforts, the relief efforts on campus? Anything like that? Okay. Oh, Ben.
You mentioned possibilities of us spring break. Are you aware of any current plans for alternative spring break for summer trips?
They'll probably be organized through the Public Service Center. Leonardo Vargas Mendez is the director. But it may not be that is soon enough. Right now, it doesn't make any sense to go there unless you are really specialized in something they really need. And it could be that in 8 weeks, they'll still be in that place, you know, where they only want physicians and other kinds of nursing that they have. And engineers like Temple, who's gone down there already, more engineering classes. But I think sooner or later, there will be the opportunity for our students to contribute in various ways, but only after they can stay left.
Very good. So I guess we'll move on to our last matter of old business then, which is the update and discussion of the Reimagining Cornell Task Force Report. I'd like to turn it over first to Vice President Brian.
So following the December 7th GPSA meeting where I said we were going to send a letter to Provost Fox, I took the comments that graduate students sent to us regarding their review of the different task force reports. These were all combined into one massive letter and was sent to the provost as well as two student trustees. I think it also was addressed to Dean Hubble. And a copy of it was sent to the entire GPSA non-voting body members through the Dropbox, just because of some of the sensitivity of the issues written in that document. I used the Dropbox to submit the letter to you. So listed here just some of the highlighted areas of concern that were mentioned in that. The first is the suggestion of undergraduates living at Hasbrook apartments, the concern over the amount of TA shifts that will be available in the future, concern about changing of any graduate fields, what will happen to my graduate fields, what will I get my degree in. Several alumni from the School of Architecture, Art and Planning jointly wrote a letter with concern about the change in focus of that letter that the task force suggested. A few concerns over the CALS report from summer session. the person who wrote the letter was concerned that there was a strong emphasis on high school students coming to Cornell, and was that affecting current students at Cornell during the summer session. And then the last was a statement that Leon wrote in about CEPR, which went into that letter. So that letter was sent to the provost, and hopefully the provost will be speaking about this next Monday, and that's pretty much all I've heard about that. That's all I have to do.
Okay. Do we have questions for Brian about the letter that we sent to the provost? Okay. Just to address, as Mike mentioned, about the student enrollment task force report that was discussed at the committee meetings of the Board of Trustees, the student enrollment task force report was the one from which the Hasbrook apartments issue was possibly discussed.
And it was also in the student and academic services report. That too had a section on Hasbrook, since that report deals with campus life. So it was in two reports.
And so it's optimistic, seeing that student enrollment is likely not going to increase. We can be at least optimistic about that point. I guess I would say I could open the floor for discussion on if there's anything you want to discuss related to the task force reports. I don't know if any, just for a show of hands, I mean, I realize you're on vacation, but for a show of hands, did any of you read the summary or the full report of the budget model task force report that just came out? Okay. Any comments on that, since that's not included in this letter?
I saw a very interesting slide on it.
Tell us, Mike.
But you cannot be wrong. It just looked like Jack and Paul came. And then they went through, and they took
the flow chart?
That was the original budget model, and they took it down to a much, much more simple thing.
Okay.
It makes sense. I think they're going to be going out of the way report next week or so. And just the way they're trying to eliminate one of the things they're eliminating is the idea of like the hub unit hotel school. They do off with another hub as well. These kind of very independent units and start putting money back directly towards the center. Or giving a little bit more compression to pull out. The money is spent rather than just having money and the price of being charged left and right, creating a whole bunch of different fiscals.
It seemed to me like there was some effort being made to regularize the finances between the contract and the endowed side, but I didn't get a sense of what the actual state has to be for that, or if there's, like, are there legislative issues with the budget model that
state that definitely puts one off where it is.
Might go away.
It's an issue. That's not a big issue. I mean, it's just it's an institutionalized change. One of the things I've been mentioning in that budget law before was trying to develop a more coherent space management and space charging systems. So right now, the university does not charge for space, which is a lot of other business efficiency. A lot of other large universities, Stanford does, New Michigan does, charge for space right now. This, what this does is incentivize people. So what the university wants to do is going to give departments a baseline level of space, using budgets, and then start charging on top of that.
How does that work with grant overhead as far as, I guess the university is taking overhead rates and providing central services, how does that also build for the essential services that are already
being paid for? The overhead will always go directly to central people as a specified percentage of the grant. How the space is going to work out, the problem is so much in doing the president. So we start to give professionals dual appointments and start getting two offices for the only one. Or there is lab space that could be used much more efficiently. I'm not sure how it's going to be addressed yet, but it's being worked out.
Tom?
I just wanted to say, I mean, first there's going to be a brown bag lunch and a discussion next Friday at the initial 15th over at the Friends Hall, the show called Memorial, and there'll be a second one on next Thursday at the same time.
But I looked over the preliminary and I took just a chance to look over the final report as well. And I think everything that Mike has said sounds right. I think one thing to point out is they are giving the provost something they call the provost subvention pool, which is essentially giving him the ability to fund university priorities so that while we talk a lot about the way in which certain units are now more responsible for their budgets, at the same time, there are some units which are not as capable of producing, say, entrepreneurial activity and thus more funds. So, like, business school tends to be able to fund itself at a better level than the current plan. And that's why the big thing is that undergraduate tuition is going to be centrally pooled, always, and then distributed to those campuses. So that, I think there's a lot of flexibility that we're not surprised that the chart is so complicated.
Yeah.
To look at.
Well, the easy rate will try.
That's good here, too.
Could I ask?
A team.
Let me ask one thing. If you go to the provost's summary on his website, you put up the summary of key terms, and it sort of reviews the very outline form that the 20 past course. What I observe as being really important is the recurrent theme, the refrain about how the provost wants to reduce kind of academic program redundancy. So, you know, the UConn, site, SOGE, the business or the management sciences programs, which have proliferated on campus. I think the provost sees this as kind of a splintering of our efforts. And we would like, I think, to advocate for consolidation. Whether he is successful, I guess, in anybody's guess, that probably is just the provost. And as you know, the faculty has a great deal of authority in this arena. So it could be that these academic programs will push back as they are. That has happened in the past. But you very well may see consolidation in the next 12 months. That will present the worst. We'll see you probably doing CALS, 51% like places or 27 departments, something like 20 departments are becoming schools. It's going to be put in a room with folks from the doctor school and they're going to use that to decide how they relate to one another. But there's, if you read that document, over and over and over again, you will observe that we're trying to consolidate our academic programs, partly for administrative efficiency, but also partly because it could lead to better academic programs.
And there are plenty of considerations that, I hope that over the past few months you've been talking about this with your field, but there's plenty of considerations, you know, relating to, us applying to graduate programs at some of these combined programs that are going to have the same focuses. You know, I think that was one of the things that came out in the architecture, art, and planning report. You know, I mean, if you're applying to this program, is it going to be the same instruction, but also are they going to be looking for the same sorts of applicants? And so, it'll affect, obviously, TA positions and things. So I do hope that you can think about those issues more. And as I think someone mentioned already, maybe Brian, Provost Fox is going to be, and Ed Lawler, who are the leaders of this Task Force Reports initiative, will be at the advisory body meeting next week. And they're only going to give a five-minute presentation. They're going to be there for half an hour. So it's going to be time for questioning. So if you have things... points from your field that you want to bring up, please do so at that time. Brian?
I guess it's a question for you and Ben. Has the provost advisory body met, and has anything been going on with that? Because last you said that you were charged with the how can you make Cornell experience better for graduate students, and I was just wondering if we had anything since then.
One of three guys.
In December.
Yeah.
The beginning of December.
Has anything happened since then?
I haven't heard anything on my end.
Oh.
We all completed our homework assignment and emailed it in and haven't heard anything.
We never got a grade for it.
Maybe next week we find out how you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was
awesome. That committee has not moved forward.
Okay.
The provost, yeah. Any other comments? We're imagining Cornell. All right. Well, I guess we have some new business. We have... I'm not sure I really want to talk about that now. I guess I will. So
said you wanted to talk about it. Here it is.
Well, I do, yeah. So there's an organization called the NAGPS. That's the National Association of Graduate and Professional Students. So it's a nationwide conglomeration of associations like the GPSA here at Cornell. And we are not currently a member of this. Being a member involves some perks and also involves a membership fee. And so I wanted to put this before you today to see if there was interest or discussion about whether Cornell should become a part of the National Association of Graduate and Professional Students. So I have a letter here from a colleague of ours from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and MIT is very involved in the NAGPS. And this topic was brought up at the Ivy Summit. Ivy Summit is a conference that Cornell hosted back in October of all the Ivy League schools. MIT is also involved, so there were nine schools there, and the folks from that work in the NAGPS brought up this topic about us possibly joining. And so the gentleman from MIT says that there are three main functions of the NAGPS: to connect graduate and professional students and their associations, to provide resources and support to members, and to advocate on members' behalf. And so the first two functions, the connect graduate and professional students and to provide resources to graduate and professional students, that's basically covered at their annual meeting and keeping contact throughout the year. It's one of these intangible things. It's like, well, we want some advice. How do they do it at Stanford? How do they do it at Columbia? How do they do it at Dartmouth, Yale, something like that? And so it's important for me to point out that we already are we're involved in the Ivy League conglomerate of those nine schools. So this would, if we wanted to become involved in this would be something in addition to the Ivy League schools, which we already have good connection with. This would be something reaching out to some of our colleagues maybe on the West Coast, as well as other schools that are not Ivy League schools or MIT up here in the Northeast. However, the last matter that this the NAGPS reports do is to advocate on members' behalf. And so they have biannual trips to Washington, D.C. to advocate to Congress for various aspects affecting graduate and professional students throughout the nation. And so, let's see, I wanted to tell you what they're focusing on now. Okay, so they have three main topics that they're focusing on for their lobbying right now. Student visa reform. So that's for international students trying to gain more visas for international students coming into this country wishing to do graduate or professional work at our institutions of higher education. And then also student tax exemptions. They're working with the NAGPS is actually working with some congressman's office right now to help draft legislation to say that graduate stipends should not be federally taxed taxed as earned income. I don't know if there would be an unearned income tax or something, but that's an issue they're working on. And then open access to research is also an issue that they're working on, which is apropos to our meeting tonight because we actually have a resolution that's coming forward, which we'll look at in a few minutes on that. And so the National the NAGPS also has a regional and national conferences, which they have workshops there on topics related to, university activities, community engagement, faculty-student relations, healthcare, housing, lobbying and advocacy, organizational continuity, unionizing, and website and communication. So basically, their conferences exist as a fora for becoming more aware of what other schools are doing to manage some of these important issues, which our committees in the GPSA work on all the time. So I'm not saying that we should or that we shouldn't, think about joining the NAGPS. I wanted to throw this out there and hear your comments. Dave?
What's the fees?
The fees would be $250 if we wanted to join at the national conference. Fees are but that's sort of like the year has already started, so it's a prorated fee. It would be $250 this year, and they're normally $500. For a school to join. And I guess I should also tell you that relating to our peer institutions, Yale, Dartmouth, and Columbia are three other Ivy League institutions that are involved in the NAGPS, and MIT, as I mentioned, which is involved in our Ivy Summit, is also involved.
Right. Is that yearly? Is that a yearly thing? Or is it 500?
500 annual. It's a 500 annual. The folks at MIT say they're trying to, I guess, reduce administrative costs in the NIGPS, and hopefully that would lower the fee. Currently, those are what I stated are the fees. Asha.
Do you know how many other universities are
part of
that outside? What kind of network?
Yes. So if you just search NIGPS, I don't know the actual number. There's probably about, I would estimate, about 50 schools nationwide are involved in the NIGPS right now. The NIGPS is also undergoing a current push to increase membership, which is one of the reasons why we were contacted as well. And so they're having a large push on that front. I would estimate there's currently about 50 nationwide. There are, to my understanding, 8 in the Northeast region, which is the region that we would belong to. So I think it might be Tufts, SUNY Stony Brook. I don't know. I don't know the other ones in the Northeast region. Carnegie Mellon, that's where they're holding the Northeast Regional Conference this year.
It has to be on the
screen. Yes. Look it up on Google. It says joining, and then there's membership, and there's just a list. So, any other questions about it or opinions? If you think that this would be something that's valuable for Cornell to consider membership in, I mean, you know, for this year it might be difficult. We've already established our budget, and you know, we went through a whole process with that with Dave, back in September. So, you know, I would encourage in future years to consider whether this is something that you think it might be worthy to budget for. So, are there any initial ideas on that, or questions? More information you would need.
Can you post the letter itself on the
Google website? The letter that I received I can. I'll just check with Kevin to make sure that he doesn't mind me posting it. But that the gentleman from MIT, Brenda.
The graduate school is affiliated through the administrative office, and they have the and it is considered a pretty both reliable and useful networking tool. We do not as much benchmarking as we do with the other Ivy schools, but it is good to network outside of the Ivy, especially because we do have a land grant component, the statutory component here at Cornell. And a lot more of the schools who have membership, at least on the dean's level, in this organization, sort of fit that bill as well.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that information.
You might want to talk to the dean about whether or not there could be a collaborative membership or that or not.
Certainly. We'll speak with Dean Power about that at the next big executive meeting. Yes?
We probably need to budget a little bit more than $500 to be an extra, because if we're going to send people to these conferences or whatever it is, then you know, that's going to be more money per person than we send or whatever.
I mean, yeah, it's by no means beholden that you would have to attend the conferences, but if you attend the conferences, you can, you know, you have access to that aspect of the organization, and you also, at the conferences, they have elections for national officers in which we would be eligible for if we were to become a member of this organization. And so that's a very good point you bring up. Whereas we budget a certain amount for members of this organization to attend the Ivy Summit each year. If we were to join, would we also want to be budgeting money to attend the regional, send representatives to the regional or the national conferences? So, I mean, we don't need to make any decision on this at this point, but I would ask that you do consider it, because I would like to give a response maybe by the voting council meeting next month to our colleagues from the NIGPS on whether Cornell is considering joining, or whether they might be considering joining next year, or whether they think that this isn't necessarily something that would benefit this institution. So, any other comments, Mike?
I think we were, once upon a time, I think we were a member of the organization, some area or another, but we've fallen off the wagon. But I think it would be worthwhile to develop some sort of plan. Maybe one of our committees kind of research this organization a little bit, develop some sort of action plan to kind of get a little bit of approach those organizations, who should be the point person in this body, and you know, what's going to be the yearly procedure of being involved in the conference, sending people, and what is their goal with this organization? What can we give them? What can we get out? And how we can be, I think, a leader in the national conference.
I think that's an excellent recommendation. I mean, are you suggesting that we create an ad hoc committee, or are you suggesting that a standing committee take that on?
I think this might be appropriate for either executive operations or finance.
I think it's appropriate. I'd be happy to take it on as a job of the executive committee, but I'd be happy to have people who aren't on the executive committee, since that's just the three of us. If you're willing to, to look into this further, is there anyone in the room who is interested in looking into this topic further? Leon?
Good man.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, the executive committee and Leon will look further into this NHGPS, and we will have a report back to you by the next meeting. Okay. So Brian is now the chair of the meeting.
Nighthawk and Erica both sponsored the resolution. So the first resolution on the agenda tonight is something Nighthawk just mentioned. The National Association is pushing forward on the right to open access for research. So if I could have a sponsor of the resolution, maybe give 2 minutes to briefly explain their resolution.
Present. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I hope you read this online. Posted on the blog, but basically our point with this is that particularly in a climate where we're seeing library budgets being cut, we would like to see that certain research that's published to particularly if it's using federal or federal funding to conduct that research, that the findings be made accessible publicly on the internet to anyone who's interested in that material. And this is, as I mentioned, one of the focuses of the NIGPS. And so they're lobbying on this topic. And what this resolution would be saying is that Cornell is going to become a signatory to the lobbying effort that the NIGPS is currently conducting in D.C. I guess I'll just take questions.
Is it Cornell already a signatory on it? If I could be kind of passing the resolution that we would call about open access research, and the libraries themselves have been taking over and set up a funding tool to pay for articles that require submission funds.
I believe this is to agree to join with the NAGPS's push for this. So agreeing to this resolution is going back to the National Graduate Association that they can add Cornell in their letters to push for this.
Okay, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Basically what Brian stated is, you know, it's that it's saying that the graduate students sign on. I think there was a different letter for the faculty and deans, which and that was one of the actual pushing points for MIT. They said, well, you know, your faculty already signed on to this. So they said, you know, we think that's an indication that, you know, perhaps the graduate students at your university also want to sign on to it. So it'd be, you know, just reinforcing maybe the statement that our faculty made.
We'll move into formal debate. Does anyone wish to speak in opposition to Resolution R5? Seeing none, we'll move into general debate. So if anyone has any questions, comments, concerns, or wish to offer up amendments on Resolution R5, now is the time. Mike?
We should send this to Chris and Jill Brand, Chuck Schumer, and
Lori Sitchin. Does the sponsors wish to consider that a friendly amendment?
I would consider that a friendly amendment.
Erica?
Yes.
Okay.
Could you, Kirsten Gillibrand, Chuck Schumer, and who else?
Maurice Hinchy. Representative.
Okay.
The final edition will have that. Any other comments, questions, concerns, amendments on R5? The chair will entertain a motion to move to approve resolution R5 at this time.
So
moved. Moved by Chris. Have a second. Second by Leon. All right. All those in favor of passing resolution R5, please raise your packets at this time. Twelve, four. Any opposed? Abstained? One. By a vote of 12-0-1, resolution R5 passes with said amendments. Thank you.
Thank you.
The chair goes back to Nightmare.
Thank you, Ryan. So we have another resolution on the table today, resolution R6, regarding the continued collaboration between... Actually, I would ask for a motion to reorganize the agenda. I told Cornell Cinema that they could present on this. And do we have someone from Cornell Cinema in the room at this moment? I told them that we would present on this after 6:30. So if they wanted to send someone, they could send someone to comment on this resolution. So I would actually like a motion to rearrange the agenda and take up R7 first.
I move.
Okay, thank you. And a second from Representative Mansfeld. So we have resolution R7 regarding the representation of graduate students at the Geneva Experiment Station to the Cornell Graduate and Professional Student Assembly. I believe we have a sponsor of the main motion in the room,
yes.
So I will recognize Brian for a 2-minute sponsorship speech.
So this resolution is to request a change in the GPSA charter, so we will only discuss it tonight. It is not up for vote. It will come up for a vote at the following voting meeting. Basically, we've been trying to have this inter-campus collaboration between ourselves and Geneva, since the GPSA is to represent all graduate students both here in Ithaca as well as in Geneva. And for at least the past 2 years, as far as I can remember, there's been a representative from SAGES, which is the student organization at Geneva, attending our GPSA meetings. And currently in the charter there is no mention of a representative from SAGES to the GPSA. So the resolution basically asks that an additional item be made to the article of the GPSA charter, which discusses GPSA membership, and that one seat on the advisory body be given to a student from Geneva, regardless if their field is already represented on the advisory body. This happened to be the case this semester. One of the Geneva representatives was from, Horticulture, which already had a seat filled. So this removes that issue, and that one seat, regardless of whatever field they're in, is given to a student from Geneva, and it's up to the Geneva Experimental Station to decide how that student is selected.
Questions?
Yeah.
We have time for questions.
We would want to, if you want to guard against someone wearing two hats.
I'm sorry?
You would also want to guard against someone wearing two hats, like working field and Geneva.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine what happens, but.
Yeah. I mean, they've already been attending, so as far as the Geneva side is concerned, I don't think they're not going to see this as a burden. You know, we've got to send someone down, you know. Mira, who is also the other co-sponsor on this, has been attending for the past 2 years. It came out of the... I'll stop him. No. I'll just keep going.
Please. It's just fine.
I'm curious, does this introduce the issue of representation from all the satellite campuses and other, YL and all the international programs that are starting up? Do we need to start introducing satellite conferences for these meetings rather than people don't have to drive down?
I might comment on that by saying that I think the Geneva situation is a little different than the other satellite campuses, such as the Weill College and maybe some of our, farther afield affiliates, simply because if we think about the student activity fee, which we spent a lot of time talking about last semester, student activity fee applies to the Ithaca and Geneva campuses. And so I think sort of the taxation without representation sort of argument might be applicable to the Geneva side. I mean, I'm sure there's other reasons why we might want to think about whether this applies to other satellite campuses, but I think the Geneva situation is also unique in that aspect, in that they are the only people outside of Ithaca that are paying the student activity fee that aren't currently have a seat on the GPSA.
Just in case you don't know, and then I'll just Mike has a comment. At the Geneva Experimental Station, four of the graduate fields are represented. So there are it's the fields of food science, plant pathology, horticulture, and I believe the last one is entomology. So those are fields that are both here at the Ithaca campus, and they're also at the Experimental Station. I asked for one seat because the number of students at Geneva fluctuates anywhere from 25 up to possible 90.
And our charter is...
It has to be over 100 before two seats are given to a student, before a field can have two students.
Okay, I guess we're moving into general debate. So if anyone has any comments or questions, Preston.
Does this open up Geneva to receive funding of the new field designation funding that's last year?
They were open to receive it currently, because SAGES, the Student Association at Geneva Experiment Station, was designated by the Finance Commission as a registered field organization.
So weren't they required to send the members?
Which they were last year when it started up. MIRA was already attending those meetings.
Well, I mean, technically they were required to send a member, but they didn't have a seat for the member, which was that's sort of an administrative problem. But
did you just say they were if they're a field, they haven't.
They were designated as receiving field funding by the FC.
And even though they weren't officially on there, MIRA was attending those meetings, so it met the requirement.
Special, this open up SAGE to representation of the voting member body, or is that not allowed by current?
Technically, they could become, that is true. My interpretation of this now, if this were to pass, then a Geneva student could become an advisory body member, but it's not stated that one seat of the voting body will become a Geneva seat, but there is the possibility. So MIRA last year could have, because she was on the Council of Representatives, could have ran for advisory and been a member.
That's interesting.
So I'm going to take a strict governance point of view to this, and hopefully not make too much of this great. We're delegated authority to represent the graduate students at the Ithaca campus. The Geneva students are registered graduate students at the Ithaca campus. And these students are registered students in a field of study, state protocol. At the Ithaca campus. And this specific campus comprises a wider view of what happens in Ithaca and of its needs. And so there's one field of horticulture. There are formerly two departments of horticulture. There are two departments right now. With the Cal Task Force report going forward, there'll be one department of horticulture. But there's always been one field of horticulture, one graduate. Now my concern with this is we're starting to go down a path of kind of granting one person two votes. And the field of horticulture, in theory, should kind of get there. Actually, I don't know if they are or not. They represent both the horticulture students that are here at Ithaca and the horticulture students that are in Geneva. And being able to grow from that line, what their representative is as well. Now that we have two, if this goes forward as it says right here, my interpretation of it is two students could vote in a horticulture election. Students could vote in a horticulture election and select their Ithaca horticulture representative and their Geneva SAGES style representative. And that to me is I think a little bit concerning. I think there's merit to having some sort of liaison way, but the fact that we're kind of starting to rearrange how the voting works, and this might be a minor issue, but this is kind of this is my strict governance delegated authority.
Can I respond? I'll let Brian respond to that. It says that this seat would be selected by the students of the station. So, yes, horticulture could have another vote in putting someone else in there, but that is a vote of the entire experimental station. So that one seat is going to be decided upon those people up there from food science, horticulture, entomology, and plant pathology.
But each of those are going to, would in theory have a chance to vote in their other field of issue.
Yeah, in theory they would. I mean, I if anyone's from any of those fields, perhaps he or she could comment on. I'm not sure we have anyone here, but Ed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually co-president of SOHO here, which I mean, I live and work in Geneva. I take pride in supporting you over here, and I fully represent obviously myself as a Geneva student and in the Geneva student in horticulture. But Stages is very much their own entity, and actually, as it happens currently, there's no representation of horticulture in Stages, even though Stages, in principle, represents the four groups around I understand the point, but we have two voices.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a balance between, and I mean, I'm just speaking as me now. This is, I'm not a sponsor or, you know, for or against this resolution. In fact, I can't vote on the resolution. But I would say, you know, there's going to be a balance between, you know, the theoretical possibility that, you know, someone might be able to have the electing two different members that would have non-voting privilege, that member would have a non-voting privilege, would be an advisory body member. So, you know, there's that possibility, but then there's also the possibility that, you know, Geneva students may not have any recognized representation if, you know, if this were not to go through. Tom?
I'd like to think that if we had another clause that said, but that this seat could not be held by someone who already holds
department. Yeah, that was my other question about where
the
two happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom,
did you have anything to continue?
Then would that be a good thing? For me, yes. I would be willing, because I was trying to represent them, I let my parentheses quick note there, so I would be happy to accept a friendly amendment if you could come up with some wording that we could use for that to make that a little clearer. I would probably accept that. No, I can't. what can't
right.
You...
No. Chris, did you have a point?
I can do that.
I don't think that is what Rush Life is bringing up. That actually promotes Rush Life. It would be beneficial to have the same person the horticulture department who has to need to represent both users and horticulture. So there's that we will vote for that. Whereas if you ensure that they're separated, then we start getting into the issue where the GPSA itself is declaring who can vote and establishing our own field within our own representative body. Because as the charter stands, the only ones that have advisory seat are graduate fields, and this would be the first effect.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Sorry. Ed. Can I just make another point? I feel that whether I was living in Ithaca last year or living in Geneva this year, myself and my co-president would represent horticulture students in Geneva. I think what is actually going on is that there's a group of students in Geneva who like their little bubble. They do see themselves as very separate from the Ithaca campus. And I feel that that's kind of an atmosphere that we have. I'd also like to make a point that, at the moment, as you know, there's this merger going on with the departments, and for an actual fact, all the vice plant pathology and horticulture, they will all be just their own entities, their own student groups represented, won't they? By the time that merger happens, I mean, phases will be a very different body. Because you will have just, you will have plant pathology Geneva, plant pathology Geneva, horticulture, Geneva. They're all just going to be one, and, you know,
okay. Any other discussion on the matter? Again, we're not voting on this tonight. This is just discussion. So, any other Ben?
Oh. I always wanted to add my opinion. How about if you put in some sort of clause that if they were elected as the delegates, that they should be sages, that they have to relinquish their voting rights in their people dealing with departments here at Cornell? That would do away with the possibility of the double vote.
May? May I make a suggestion? Since this is not being voted on tonight, I will keep this up on the blog, and if you have ideas about how to clarify some of the language, if you could email it to me, and I will rework it, and at the following meeting, I have to present this resolution again, I can take some of the edits, and hopefully that will satisfy the concerns. My main, if I can have the last comment, my main purpose for this is to ensure that there is continued collaboration between us and the students in Geneva, because we do represent them, you know, and they have been faithful in coming to our meetings, and I want to make sure that, you know, the GPSA recognizes that and ensures that they're always welcome and definitely have a seat at the advisory body. So, with that, I'll...
Great. Yeah, so again, please view the WordPress blog, GPSA blog, if you have further comments on Brian's matter. So, I guess being done with that, we will move on to resolution R6, which is regarding the continued collaboration between Cornell Graduate and Professional Student Assembly and the Cornell Cinema. Are you from Cornell Cinema? Oh, great. So, I guess I'll let Brian open on this. And then I'll during formal debate, I'll recognize any comments from our. Would you care to introduce yourself?
My name is Jerry Zahn. I live in Milwaukee.
Okay, and so then we'll have any comments from Yuri, and then we'll go forward into general debate. So I'll recognize Brian as the sponsor of the main motion.
So this resolution is in response to the activity fee discussion that we had last semester regarding Cornell Cinema. So. I think everyone would agree Cornell Cinema was one of the hotly contested groups that we spent much time about, 3 meetings on Cornell Cinema, and the 93 emails was Nighthawk's calculation 24 hours before the final vote, where everyone had a lot of comments and concerns about Cornell Cinema and ensuring that it keeps the quality of programming that it has. That said, resolution asks for the addition of two comments regarding Cornell Cinema under the eligibility criteria and obligations for byline funded groups. I'm actually going to go in reverse order. So the first one is about collecting information on how many graduate and professional students attend Cornell Cinema and present this information to the GPSA. This was a comment and question that was asked by the appropriations during the committee meetings with Cornell Cinema and was a concern of the GPSA when deciding the allocation to know how much we should be giving. We should know how much of the students that we represent, how much are they attending Cornell Cinema. And so this is the exact same language that is put on to Salt Day, where Salt Day has to present the statistics of how many graduate students attend Salt Day, again, for the same reason. So we know when it comes time for allocation, we have a better sense of who from our constituency is attending your event. The second one, the first one, since it's going backwards, is allocating one seat of the GPSA, a representative of the GPSA to their advisory board. That is to, let me preface by, there's a blog referred to as One Cornell. Stop laughing. One Cornell had an interview with Cornell Cinema following one of the SA meetings, and the question was, you know, why is this conflict between the two? And the answer from Mary and Chris was that there was this disconnect between Cornell Cinema and the Student Assembly, And after seeing our discussions with Cornell Cinema, there seems to be some disconnect between us, the GPSA, and Cornell Cinema. You know, and to that, I ask for the addition of a line that someone from the GPSA, same way as it could be with Slope Day, it doesn't have to be a GPSA voting representative, it could be just someone that's appointed. As Slope Day representative Travis, he was appointed by the Operations and Staffing Committee to show up to Cornell Cinema so the GPSA can input its ideas with Cornell Cinema, and when it comes time for the activity fee, someone from the GPSA is with Cornell Cinema to help them when it comes time for allocation. And I'm told from Dave that either himself and other individuals of the GPSA are ready and willing to help Cornell Cinema. Do you have any? No? Okay. So hopefully that, you know, settles the issue of this disconnect between us and Cornell Cinema, and that's why I asked for that additional line in the clause. So with that, I'll stop and...
I would take one or two questions at this time if anyone's interested in asking Brian before we get to Mr. Zano's comments.
I'm just curious if you talked to Cornell Cinema about the subdivision prior to
this. All we've done for Cornell Cinema is we, as per the GPSA charter, we informed them that such a resolution was present. They were given the resolution ahead of time to read, so I look forward to hearing the questions, comments, or concerns about this.
Any other questions, Brian? Seeing none, I'll recognize Yuri for any comments that you have on the resolution.
The Cornell Center was actually fine with the amendment as it's written. Our only concern is that on the fifth item, that there's no local cleaning. We're happy to comply with that. What we want more than anything else is no sort of micromanagement on the part of the
which
GPSA?
Wait,
well, did you have more comments, or do you want to?
No. That's the only caveat.
Okay.
We're actually content with this.
Okay. Hopefully, whoever we select on the GPSA, you know, would be able to work and then come to some sort of agreement. I mean, granted, I don't want to see how many people went to Psycho on Monday, September 3rd. You know, but just something a little more than that.
I think, yeah, I think you have an idea of the kinds of things. I mean, yeah. We're all adults. You have the idea of kind of all work for places. You have the idea of the grant stuff that we would consider in a program and have to be appropriate. Mm-hmm. We actually don't think it would be too much of a difficulty to provide that kind of thing, because there used to be this prior to when I went here, but there used to be tiers pricing anyway, so it's fairly easy to get that back up.
So we could work out how you would, you know, what we would like and what you're able to provide.
That's more than
reasonable.
That's our only comment.
Okay.
Very good. So, any questions for Mr. Zano? Tom?
I was on part of the Appropriations Committee, which talked to Cornell Cinema about how they gather data. It seemed that the reason they were not able to give the kind of data that we had wanted at the Appropriations Committee meeting was due to the same pricing structure for undergrad and graduate. So I'm not sure the mechanism which will be put in place to collect accurate information on graduate student attendance unless there were to be a pricing difference. So I'm wondering...
I would tell them to give you that there'd be a card swipe or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So there would be a technological fix. That's what Chris told me.
I wanted to hear
that. I mean, I just got back. The other thing to bear in mind is I got back yesterday.
That's good to hear.
I'm report, you know, there's a certain amount of hearsay to this, but Chris told me that there would be a technological thing. I mean, I don't think there's any, I don't know if there are any undergrads, but there's no difference between our IDs and the undergrad budget. You can't help.
Not them. Visually.
Yeah, you can't, but Chris said you can do it from swiping, so that's what I have no reason to think otherwise.
Representative Genkin, do you have a comment?
Just kind of along the same lines as you did. I guess we might be able to sell this person, but you're saying you repeat customers or original customers?
What do you mean by repeat customers? So like, if I go to a movie twice in the same way?
Yes, you could be that the cost of the movie is the same people.
What was different?
No, Mike.
I mean, the hot yeah,
the, but the reason Mike, I think the reason Mike is saying that is, you know, if you say, we have 50 people coming in at the same 50, but I think that the swipe, if what you said about the swiping, then that takes care of that problem too. So
I would guess so. Yeah. I don't know what like if this happened when they last used it was prior.
But I think. If you were swiping, then personally, I'm very happy that Cornell Cinema seems to like this, and hopefully, if the body approves this resolution, we'll look forward to working with you.
All right. Well, we'll move into general debate. If there are any questions, points of information, anyone else would like to speak on this. On this topic, again, we're not voting on this tonight. This is it's a charter amendment, so we just want it have to be aired at two meetings in order to see it go through, but to vote on it. Were there other cool points, Representative Hebner, Representative Walden, Representative Hebner?
I just pardon my paranoia, but I put a quick plug in for data anonymization. Like, I don't want there to be a lasting log of which grad students are seeing which movies.
Okay. let's first make sure that that's
just putting the thought out there.
Okay.
I mean, satisfy my bubble of paranoia.
That probably would be a medical cause as well. I don't have any desire to let people know what you've been up to. Yes, sir.
How many people are on the advisory board right now?
The student advisory board, I'm going to have to give you a raise. It's about a dozen. I mean, the advisory board, I get the impression you want some idea of what the advisory board does. Is that
Yeah,
I mean, the advisory, it's not like this. It's not like we vote. I mean, obviously, ultimately, Mary and Chris run the show. They're professionals. They do this for a living. The point of the student advisory board is to do exactly what it is. There are instances where they, where votes will be taken to make a decision or things like that. But it is an advisory session.
How are they collected currently?
You apply. You write up a vote.
All right, very good. Any other questions, points of information, any other discussion on this? Seeing none, I will, we don't need to make a motion for this, I'll just lay it on the table and we will pick it up for a vote at our next advisory, or next voting council meeting. Mr. Zano, thank you for coming and answering our questions.
Thanks for having me.
So the only thing left on our agenda is a open forum. So this is where you can mention any other topics that are new in business that haven't been discussed this evening. And I saw Representative Clark, and then we'll get Marianne.
Just to follow up the email my husband and I sent out about the activity fee, caveat being with the preliminary idea of staying on the table, we hope that we'll get enough support to go through with these during the semester to come. I know people have emailed me with their interest. Please, your interest as well. Anyone who email me, see me after we can chat about it some more. And then just first step in it could be a long process, long-ish process. Just some nerd ideas, let me set it up. And on my email, CEC54, if you're interested in any other comments, queries, revelations, or theories.
Very good. Any questions for Chris about the proposed restructuring of some of the byline funding guidelines? Or, like you said, you can see me after if you're interested.
Yeah.
All right, Marianne?
My name is Marianne Fleetwood, I'm the graduate residence manager at Massachusetts University, and I just wanted to remind all of you that our GPA application deadline is coming up this month. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to contact me or get in touch with Laura Davis in the group. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions about the GPA position? All right. Representative Schneider?
Yeah, just real quickly, teachers organizing for Relay to Life is coming out in the middle of February, and if any of you guys know any programs you're interested in, if you're interested in it, we thought a way to get people more excited about it would be maybe a little friendly competition between programs to see who can get more people out there, who can raise more money, who can run more laps around the track, and like that. So if you guys are interested, I did a little note that the blog just now, you can shoot me an email. We'll just be able to do
so. Questions for Representative Schneider on Relay for Life? Very good. Any other topics for open forum? Seeing that I'll come up with a topic, you know, I wouldn't want to make it look like we adjourned a full 8 minutes early. yeah, I'm not going to get attacked in the parking lot. So there is one thing that I've been looking at this semester, and it's on the topic of charter changes, and the officers of the GPSA are aware of this. And this isn't something that I necessarily think needs to go through this semester, but I think it's something we need to consider, start talking about and start thinking about. And so I'll throw it out there since we have a moment now. I think that the membership of this voting body and how many members come from various areas in the university is somewhat arbitrary. So we currently have 19 open seats for voting members. Two of those are designated for master's students, at least one for a master's of engineering student. We have three seats open for students from the humanities, three seats for students from biological sciences, four seats each for students from the social sciences and students from the physical sciences. So I did a little research on this last year, and I said, well, why would those numbers be as they are? And I looked at the number of students in each of these areas. And so there's like 1,900 students from the physical sciences, 1,500 from the social sciences, about 850 from the biological sciences, and 550 from the humanities. And so based on those numbers, you say, well, how do you get 4433? And then you say, well, you know, it might be related to the number of fields. It's like a House of Representatives Senate thing. So, you know, how many fields are in each area? So there might be like 18 fields in the humanities, 28 in biological sciences, 27 in the social sciences, and 22 in the physical sciences. And you say, well, still, you know, that doesn't really make any sense for where these numbers of seats are coming from. So all that I'm advocating is that we come up with some sort of formula that we could include in the charter for why we have the number of seats that we do have for each of these areas. So I think it might make more sense, you know, if something I could throw out there, which is not something I'm necessarily advocating, but it might be something that makes sense. It's just an anchoring sort of thing for your heuristics here. It's, you know, to say, like, if we based it 50% on the number of fields in the area and 50% on the number of students in the area, and then we could say, you know, we'll reassess this formula every 4 years, to see if the number of students is still representative of these areas which they come from. And so that's a suggestion. I think it's something that we definitely need to look further at, and I would encourage anyone to speak to me individually or people to mention comments they have now about what they think about a possible restructuring of the composition of this voting body. Asha.
Are you still thinking of having 19 as a base and then restructuring by your weighting after, or are you considering potentially changing the 19 to some other?
I would not personally be averse to seeing the number 19 change. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I think maybe a consideration would be considering some sort of limit that it, you know, that it wouldn't be more than. But for example, I ran the numbers, and if you were to base it 50% on the number of fields in an area and 50% on the number of students in an area, then it would come out more like you need 5 representatives from the physical sciences, 5 from the social sciences, 4 from the biological sciences, and 3 from the humanities. So it would be an increase, 1 from each area except for the humanities currently. So that's just that would be just with a 50-50 sort of algorithm. But I mean, I'd be open to any sort of structuring. I think it would just be nice to have a structure. Kristen.
From a strict governance point of view, I agree with you, but since we are a student organization, I have to say that increasing the membership of this would only cause greater nightmares because of we would often miss quorum, and then also we wouldn't be able to pass partnerships easily. So I think we have a delicate balance between what is like pure democracy, you know, what we are, and what is practical. So I think we should always keep that in mind, that although it might be nice to reassign all these things, there could be a problem of both filling the seats as well as filling membership here in the voice box.
I certainly agree with Preston's point, and I think, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, I might be open to going to 21 or you know, students or something. But I'd want to make sure that I think it is a valid point that we want to enforce some cap if we were to restructure. My concern, the reason I brought this up, is that we're a representative body, and you know, while issues probably don't come up a lot, like tonight, I don't think we talked about something that was necessarily, you know, the physical sciences were pitted against the social sciences or something, you know, that doesn't really happen. I still think it's important to be representative of our constituents, and that's just why I brought this idea forward. Representative Hefner.
I don't know how the fields are classified in the categories of physical science, biological science. Could you inform me on that? As a member of biological engineering, I'm currently representing physical sciences, but I do a lot of biological science.
It's actually... I can't explain it other than saying that we use the designations that are provided by the graduate school. The graduate school has designated these four categories to represent the totality of the 93 fields that exist under the graduate school, and we simply use their designations. And so it may not be intuitive, but that's what we use. So maybe if you have ideas on that, talk to me. If there's anything that's pressing, I just wanted to throw it out there. Are there any other items for open forum? Seeing none, the chair would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Representative Clark, Representative Mansfeld, any opposition? Meeting is adjourned at 6:58.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.